it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We haven't had a day around here like this in a long time. Song fits, bros.
Yeah, thanks for having me today, fellas.
Appreciate you being here.
This
is the day you guys need me?
Well, to be fair, we didn't know this would be like this, but I guess it was possible when we knew, you know, today would be a day after game number four, after an Eagles game. I was hoping when I texted you last night, I was like, maybe it's a great day where we're celebrating. And I think you knew deep down.
Because I knew you were watching
Phillies
the game
wasn't
on delay.
Over. Yeah, the Phillies game wasn't over, but the Eagles were down already probably when
they
I texted.
They were down huge
at
that point.
Yeah, you're probably like, this sucker. Yeah, this guy doesn't know we're up against tomorrow. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get back to your phone calls here on everything, including the fills, your feeling, your emotion today. Our Twitter quest is sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. What is the emotion after last night? Angry, disappointed, shocked, or numb? Numb is winning the poll right now at 36%. Next is disappointed, 32%. Angry at 28%. Shocked at 4%. I think there's different emotions for each team, right? Like, I'm numb on the Phillies because it just feels like we're just dead inside. As far as the Eagles, yeah, it is anger towards the Eagles. I mean, they got out-physicaled by a bad football team. That Adoree Jackson tackle attempt, Bond getting run over.
Joe, that team just lost to Spencer Rattler.
I know.
That guy hasn't won a football game in 20 years.
The Giants had five consecutive possessions with turnovers 4 days ago and then beat the crap out of the Eagles. It's just, it is alarming what's going on with the football team.
It's nuts.
It is. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here, and then we'll go through the Kirkering stuff after the game, what Topper said, what Kirkering said, and he stood up and you know, that's a tough spot for any athlete, and he answered all the questions. And then we'll hear what J-Roll said about the play after the game on television. Let's go to Johnny up next on WIP. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, how we doing? How we doing?
We've been better, Johnny.
Yeah, what's up, Johnny?
Same. All right, I put this all real quick, story time. If you told me in the beginning of the season we would have the second best record in the NL, get a bye, and play the Dodgers and get a chance to dethrone them, how are we feeling? How are we feeling?
I would have felt good. Like, we have a real shot. We have the two seed. We won all those games, and we get a shot at the Dodgers. I would have felt good. Unfortunately, I feel like crap now.
What if I told you then that we played them in four games in the series, and we held them to 13 runs, which is a little over 3 runs a game. We held the defending world champs to 3 runs a game. How would you be feeling?
I would have said, well, we're moving on. We beat the Dodgers. If we held that offense down, we would win the series.
All right, two more things. What then if I told you that our starting pitching went for all four pitchers, went for under 2.5 ERA, 2.35, 2.25, 180, and a 180. How are you feeling then?
I would have said, what date is the parade down Broad Street?
This comes to my point, and I feel like, you know, yeah, Orion messed up real bad. Topper, terrible decisions. The main point that I feel like not enough people are talking about, the main people that we pay all this money, our top three, so terrible. Like, so terrible. Kyle, 3-for-16. Trey, 4-for-17. Bryce, 3-for-15. Cassie, 2-for-15. And if you remember, that's including game three where we're just teeing off against Kershaw, who, yeah, he's awesome. 38 years old. Obviously, he's out there and, like, you know, you're kind of getting, like, you know, garbage runs. So it's just, like, it's crazy how – and the same thing happened last year, you know, at the Mets. It's like, it's crazy how, you know, we have so much. Kyle doing this legendary regular season. Bryce, who he's supposed to be, Mr. Clutch and all that. And Trey, who, again, we're paying so much. They just don't show up. And it's like, do we just have a bunch of guys in the top? And one last point, it's like, JT has a higher average in the playoffs. Alec has a higher average. And, yeah, Bader only hit a couple times, but Bader was more clutch than all four of those almost combined.
With one leg.
It's crazy how, like, you know, there's just not enough people talking about the starters. And maybe in, like, a week or so when, like, everybody looks back and they're like, yeah, Orion sucks. I just think, especially in game four, final point, Orion should never been in that position. We scored one run. One singular run on a go home day.
But so did the Dodgers for 11 innings.
Yeah.
Hold on. Why do we say our pitching staff was great? That we shut down the Dodgers lineup, but our offense sucks. What about both pitching staffs were just really good, and these were two really good teams. Probably the two best teams in the entire field.
I think they were, yeah.
Going against each other. Like, it's always about us. Like,
yeah.
You know, some of this is also about the Dodgers.
That's a good point.
Johnny, good phone call.
I actually felt in the moment, in the game, that it felt like a heavyweight match.
Yes.
Meaning, you know, Trey's defense, Stott's defense, Kepler's defense. The Dodgers made a nice play over at third. It felt Sanchez versus Glasnow. It felt like just a really strong playoff matchup more than it was. But big picture, yes, the offense stunk. But in the moment, it felt like a playoff
game. Like, I don't feel like I don't have the same feeling against the Mets where, like, they laid down like dogs. Right?
No,
like,
no, they were chumps last year.
You know, some of the boneheaded plays that they made. Yeah. But like, so that's where I get to. The Dodgers just made fewer mistakes than us. And that's what playoff games come down to.
It is. But that's why where I'm at this morning is I don't think this group is good enough. And we could rip them for it, but it might just be true. I was talking earlier about those other great teams in sports history. Like, the Eagles were great in the early 2000s. They weren't as great as the Patriots. It's unfortunate, right? It is what it is, though. You know, you go back to the 90s in the NBA, Charles Barkley's Suns were awesome. Guess what they weren't? As good as Jordan's Bulls, right? Like, we're not as good as the Dodgers. And
right.
Their guys are just better than ours. Unfortunately, they're beatable. Like, that's the way sports are. Like, these games are up in the air. We could do it. He's not wrong, though, about the top of the order. I mean, they got to be better. I mean, 1-for-15 last night with a walk is not a good way to go out. And of all of them, Bros, for me, the one that is the most different in the postseason has been Turner, right? Like, Schwarber's had his moments. He's had a lot of playoff home runs. Harper's had his moments. Trey Turner, his OPS in the regular season in his career is .827. Like, that's borderline Hall of Fame level. In the postseason, it's .681.
Wow.
I mean, like, he goes from being, and this is over years, right? Nationals, Dodgers, Phillies. He goes from being a you know, borderline Hall of Fame kind of player. And then October rolls around. That's not good.
And the defense is shaky, too.
Right.
There's actually two things here that we have yet to bring up from the game. One, that Alex Call at-bat with Sanchez.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, it's a terrible call.
I hate to do that, but in a 1-0 game, Christopher Sanchez never shows that. That is the point of, yo, dude, you something I can't say on the radio up. You know what I'm saying? You can't miss that call. You can't miss that call.
It's why, like, I understand in the big picture, you wanted the bats to be better. You wanted them to put up more runs. Some of the bullpen guys, you know, could they have been better? Yeah, and that could be, I mean, the series could look differently. But, like, all of these are coming down to one, two plays.
Yeah.
Each game. They were close games besides the last one where they left Kershaw out there to die. But, like, all of these were close.
They
like, it comes down to one or a few mistakes. That's why, like, I don't get the, like, don't blame Orion Kirkering or don't blame Topper because of the one decision. Like,
that's where the series was won.
It was the one or two decisions or moments.
Correct.
That decided the games.
Yeah. They won. No, they every toss-up they won,
yep.
And we won the laugher. I mean,
yeah.
that kind of sums up the two teams.
And then here's the one other one real quick. There was a time at the end of the year where Brandon Marsh helped really spark this team, and he was a game changer at times throughout the regular season. They were going, hey, boom, whatever, I'll get the Marsh. I felt they were picking on Marsh, and he's your fifth batter in the lineup.
Yeah, I actually thought Topper made a mistake not recognizing earlier. He should have moved him out of the fifth spot because it allowed the Dodgers to bring in Vesia or whatever, Banda, the other lefty, because they had the Harper, Schwarber, or Schwarber, Harper, Bohm, Marsh pocket. And basically they were like, we just won't pitch to Bohm. We'll just get Marsh out for the third
lefty,
out.
Lefty, lefty, yep.
Yeah.
And that's another Topper decision that can be ripped apart before the game even begins.
Now, to be fair, if he had Bader, I think Bader ends up, he probably moves him up and tries to avoid that. And without Bader, it becomes, like, I guess you could
have... Yeah, what else do you... Move JT up?
JT is what you could have done.
Yeah.
And JT
hit
in the series.
You know what? It's what you have to do.
It is.
It's what you have to do.
Yeah, Marsh in the series hit .077 with a .210 OPS. It's
woof.
Just... Woof is exact. It is a big old, big old woof. All right. Before we get back to the phone lines here, let's talk about the Kirkering situation, because it really is... it's unfortunate. It almost, to me, is like a kicker in football missing a kick in a Super Bowl or a playoff game. Like, that's the image. You can't get out of your head. It's going to be until his career is over. It is what it is. It's a terrible moment. He lost his brain. And the image of JT pointing to first base is going to be burned in all of our brains forever because it was, it just was there. The out was there at first base. We just picked it up and threw it there calmly. He didn't, obviously not. Let's hear from Rob Thompson after the game. What was his message to Orion Kirkring?
You know, he just got caught up in the moment a little bit. You know, coming down the stretch there, he pitched so well for us. And it's, you know, I feel for him because he's putting it all on his shoulders, but we win as a team and we lose as a team. So.
Well, look, I thought that moment with him hugging Kirkring as he came off the field was, that summed up Topper. Good dude. I know why the players like him. Obviously, strategy in the postseason is an issue. I thought that was the right thing to do, and I'm glad he did it. And he's going to defend his guy. He's not going to put it on Kirkering. He's not going to, and he shouldn't. We can, or we'll talk about it, but I respect the manager for doing that. Let's hear from Orion Kirkering after the game. He stood up. He answered all the questions. Obviously, you could feel, and if you watch the video, you could see the emotion in his eyes. I mean, he felt the gravity of it. Here is Kirkering after the game.
Hit off my foot. Just kind of, once that pressure got to me, I just thought it was a faster throw of the JT, a little quicker throw than trying to cross body of the Bryce. So, just more throw.
Yeah. Did you hear them calling, telling you to go to first at all? Or were you just in the moment that it wasn't even?
Just in the moment.
Yeah.
Can you see JT pointing in that moment, or is it just kind of looking up?
Just kind of looking up, just be ready.
I mean, a lot of guys have never done it. One of the first ones there, just what do the guys say to you in that moment?
Just keep your head up. It's an honest mistake. Just, it's baseball. It happens. And just keep your head up. You'll be good for a long time to come. It's not my fault. But just that opportunity to score. Just keep your head up.
Conversation with Rob too. What did he say? What does that sort of mean to you? And you know, those guys pick you up so quick.
It means a lot. It shows they care a lot.
Yeah, I mean that's those moments where when athletes have to stand up after their worst moment. That's never an easy spot. I mean, sometimes they just give one word answers. He answered the questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I was wondering in the moment, did he forget the outs? I don't think he did. I just think he got blinded by the moment.
He said that. He said the pressure got to him and it rushed his throw, and I think that's exactly what happened. No, some are speculating that maybe the way JT was lined up at home
made him feel like he should go home.
Right, but I mean, I don't blame JT.
Yeah, he's got to cover the base once the ball gets off his foot.
Right.
Just in case he comes home.
And it's crazy because I would have never put Kirkering in any of the moments Rob put him in. But if Trey Turner makes a better throw to JT in the earlier game in the series, and if that bobble goes a different way, then Kirkering actually did his job. But there's a reason why he got the pressure to, or the pressure got to him, is because there are some guys that get it, and there are some guys that don't at this time of the year, and it's clear that Kirkering doesn't have the same pulse that a Ranger does or a Lizardo does. Yep. And you got to go down swinging with the Lizardos of the world. You just do.
The funny thing is, like, he got out of it. He got a dribbler.
I know.
Back to himself.
Right, it wasn't like he kicked the ball away. Right, he picked it back up. He had plenty of time.
He didn't let up a base hit. He didn't walk in the winning run.
Yeah.
It wasn't a pitching mistake that he made.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
He just choked.
It was a brain mistake. I mean, and then he exacerbated because he would have got the out at home if he threw the ball to JT's chest. I don't think the ball wasn't beating. The runner didn't beat the throw.
Actually, he didn't even touch it.
Like, if when you think about how bad it was in every way, if he just threw the ball normal to JT, they're still out of the inning. Like, we would have been like, why did you throw it home? That was weird. But, like, they still would have got the out.
Every single piece of that play, I felt like happened in slow motion.
It did.
It really did. The dribbler. Him bobbling it.
You know, I actually
picking it back up,
seeing
yeah,
JT point, then the throw, and then it going over his head.
It was so bad that it made me think I forgot the outs. I was like, oh, wait, maybe there was just one out. Was I wrong? Because why would he go home? And then I was like, no, there were clearly two outs.
You know what's nuts? We have two games in this series. I never thought we'd get something worse than the bunt. I thought the bunt was going to be drilled into my head forever. We now have Kirkering. So you know what? The bunt, what, does it go away or is it still part of the equation?
Yeah, you're right. Because that was going to be the image from the series if they lost.
The bunt!
Yeah.
Well, it's all going to be, I think, wrapped up into the Rob Thompson blanket.
Yeah. The images of the Rob Thompson era?
Yeah.
Because so you're going to have Alvarez hitting the ball to the moon off of Alvarado.
Right.
You're going to have Kimbrel in the game in Arizona, and you're going to have these two moments.
Because I remember as soon as I had saw or heard that they were taking Lizardo out, I was like, oh, we lost. We lost the game. Because they were... Not Lizardo necessarily, but going to Kirkering.
Yeah.
I was like, we lost. You don't put Orion Kirkering in hurting runners.
Nope.
Like, you just don't do it.
Here's my question. And I don't disagree. It's the elimination. You got to, like, just push the envelope. I do wonder how much Luzardo had in him. That was 3 days rest.
Okay.
He started Monday night, so he's rested. Tuesday went. I mean, he's on short rest trying to give them what he's got.
It's fair.
Okay.
But it's funny you bring that up. I wrote this down. This is how much I got rattled.
Got the bro's notepad.
Are you kidding me? This thing is, oh, man, it's got a lot of pen marks and scratches on it and whatnot. But he said, quote, after the game, I didn't want to push him. That's what Topper said. I didn't want to push Luzardo.
Yeah.
And it brings me back. I know the Red Sox lost the first round in the wild card to the Yankees, but when they let Crochet stay and Max Fried not, there was this viral clip of Alex Cora saying the reason why we pull him at 89 in the regular season, we skip a start, is because when it's the playoffs, everything is on the table, and you push these guys to the limit because you save them for these moments. So the reason why Luzardo, X, Y, and Z in the regular season, why we pull him at 85, why we pull him at 82, why we pull him in the sixth, is so you can push them now.
Yeah.
So hearing Topper say, I didn't want to push him, it's not June, dude. This is when you push them, you know? So, but if he doesn't have anything left in the tank and he's like, I don't have it.
That's different.
It's different. But I hate that. I didn't want to push him. It's the season's over if you don't push
him. This is the time to push.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm with you. I didn't know. When I took him out, I was like, is the tank empty? Because it is a very short, you know, turnaround from when he threw the ball on Monday night. 215-592-9494. All right, one more from the Kirkering thing. Your reaction to all of it. We'll get back to the phone lines in just a minute. But let's hear Jimmy Rollins after the game last night. I thought J-Roll, it was very strong in this series on all the moments on TV after the game. Obviously, TBS had the broadcast of the series. Here was his perspective on what happened with Kirkering.
How do you process what happened on that last play?
I don't know. It's just full panic mode at that moment when he didn't field the ball properly. He just blacked out. He just panicked, and all he went to think about was the game-winning run was at third. There's still plenty of time.
Pointing the first.
Plenty of time to make the play. Pajes wasn't even at the 45-foot line, which means he's not even halfway there. JT's coming up pointing that first, yelling. You can't hear, but it goes back to having a game plan. Run through plays. We talk about it. If I strike him out, cool. If it's come back to me, where am I going with it? If it takes me to the third baseline, do I take it and throw it to third? If it takes me to the first baseline, obviously it's right up front. If it's a dribbler right up front, am I going to glove flip the JT? Any of those things, but he just panicked. He just panicked. It was almost, he was, you know, looking for the out, but almost like as if he took his way out of it other than a strikeout. And it's tough to see. It's something that you're going to have to live with.
Yeah.
I mean, literally the rest of your life.
You know, when he described that of the panic and not knowing what to do, it does all come. You mentioned over the CEO thing with Nick Sirianni. It comes back to Topper. Like, this is his baseball team. And in the biggest moments, they lost their minds. They did not execute the simplest things. That does come back to Topper. 215-592-9494. Izzy on the cell up on WIP. Izzy, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, guys? How you doing?
Izzy, we're getting through. What are you feeling?
What's up, Izzy?
I'm more Eagles right now than Phillies.
Go for it.
I'm going to get into it, man, but just hear me out, man. I think what this is a prime example of giving a brand new Lamborghini to a student driver. I think this is what this is, man. Like, this guy on paper, not only on paper, but just on the field, on the tape, we are the best team in the league. But you are very predictable. You keep running up the middle, there's no success up the middle. The two times that we actually had success where Saquon had 30-some-odd yards on two runs, he kind of ran it to the outside a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go away from that. People keep blaming the players. It's easy for somebody to check out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you look at somebody earlier said, Adrian runs three routes, and he does. He runs a goal route, a slant route, right? And then he runs a comeback route every game, same three routes. People try to get on Jalen. It's not Jalen's fault, man, not fully.
Well, I'm glad you said not fully. I mean, Izzy. Last night he was bad.
I'm a Jalen guy, Izzy. I'm a big defender. But yesterday was rough.
Out.
That's all.
Yes, yesterday, a lot of quarterbacks, AJ ran a fourth route, which was an out route. But Jalen threw him open. He didn't wait for him to get open. He threw him open.
Well, we can always find a pass here and there. But I mean, he missed the big ones.
Right.
But Izzy, I mean, the almost pick six. I mean, AJ's coming open across the end zone, and he throws the ball into the flat.
our first turnover was horrible, right?
Yeah, it's horrible.
So now that's offense. Now defense, man, how he dropping the ball? He wants Fangio to make lemonade out of freeze-dried lemons. What the hell? Wants him to make lemonade out of freeze-dried lemons. We can't do that. You know what I'm saying? And my last thing I'll touch is on Sirianni, man. Like, don't get comfortable, bro. Dougie P won us a Super Bowl. He was gone 2-3 years later. Don't get comfortable, bro. You hired Petullo. He could have gone after Frank Wright. Yeah, he was bad in Indy, but that dude had nothing in Indy compared to what we have in Philly. Like, Sirianni, man, like, he dropped the ball with that hire, bro.
Well,
like,
they didn't even really do a search. If we go back to that whole thing, because, you know, it was right after the Super Bowl, and Izzy, good phone call. I mean, that's...
Did they have time?
There's got to be someone better out there.
I agree. Well, they probably realized they were going to give him the nod anyway. But to your point, I mean, that's malpractice from a GM. And listen, we love Howie. How's Bigsby doing? You like Bigsby? You're a big fan of those draft picks that you gave up for
Bigsby?
And
they weren't seventh rounders. He gave two picks. For a kick return, we can't catch the ball.
And then they put in A.J. Dillon, and he can't do it. This whole thing is broken, man.
Yeah, but to the point on Sirianni and the blame for Petullo, which then goes down to the blame for Jalen Hurts, this is two times in the last 3 years when they stay inside the organization to pick an offensive coordinator. It looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad look for Sirianni. It really is. And if it keeps happening, this is, and I've spoken about this a lot over the years, this is the bad part about Sirianni and where he is as a coach. There's no continuity in the offense. Every time we have a good coordinator, they walk out the door to become a head coach, and we're back on this roulette wheel.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's like every other year we're going to suck.
Whenever he's the guy that has the top offensive mind in theory, whenever he's the guy.
It's bad.
It's putrid. It's putrid.
Yeah. I know we didn't think about it when Moore walked out the door, but this is what happens. It's just like the Shane Steichen thing.
I always say this, though, about when you had Kellen Moore. We always laugh about Cowboys this, Cowboys that. It meant something that he was an offensive play caller and coordinator for a franchise that has expectations.
And for years, at a young age, he got that job.
Right, and he had some really good numbers there. So knowing what that's like and coming here, man, that experience is huge. And I'm sure at 4-0, Kevin Petullo is looking around going, what the hell do they want from it? You don't understand until you're actually in that moment. And now he's feeling the pressure. But we should have seen this coming considering this guy's job. If you're going to complain last year about the passing game.
That was his job.
He had this job with less work to do and only focusing on the passing game. And he sucked at that job.
Let's take the guy in charge of the worst part of our offense last year and make him in charge of the whole damn thing. All right, we'll get right back to it after the break. Your calls and all this. What's next for the Phillies? A lot of decisions to make this offseason. We'll let you hear from Kyle Schwarber on his future. It was interesting to hear the emotion in his voice, plus Bryce Harper on Topper's future as well. You got to hear this because I was struck by how Bryce Harper answered a question about Topper and does he want him back and do the Phillies want him back as their manager in 2026. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show. Broads in for Hugh. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Broads, Hunter Brody, Broads Brody, as his email is here in Odyssey, in for Hugh today as we discuss the aftermath of, well, a lot last night. The Phillies are out. I'm just numb to it. And I'm resigned. I think resigned is the word this morning. I'm resigned to the fact that this is a group that's just not going to win a championship. I wish they were, but I don't believe it after 4 years of watching them come close and try. Where are you on the Phillies, your emotion, your feeling today? And we've spent some time on the Eagles as well, who just had a disaster of a night against the New York Giants. Well, we'll get back to all your phone calls, but let's talk about the changes that are to come here, because that's the other part of this, that it wasn't just a loss in the playoffs. We've had those. We've had a lot of those the last few years, but in 22, it felt like the start of something. In 23, it felt like a missed opportunity. In 24, it felt like the window started to close. But now we can't ignore this. I mean, they have free agents with Schwarber, with Real Muto, with Suarez, with Harrison Bader, who all of a sudden became a huge part of it. That's four huge parts of this that we don't know are going to be on the team next year. the changes are to come. And then, of course, there's the manager. Bro, right now, before we get into the particulars, your feeling on how much of this is going to be different when they get to spring training?
Man, it has to be, right? I mean, it has to be because there's nothing else they can do. They can't think that they can just bring these guys back. You must find a way to get rid of Nick. You must find a way to get rid of Boehm. You must make an interesting decision on the Kyle Schwarber. It has to, right? I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, but that's just what my brain said. It just has to. It has to.
Well, there's no way they could sell to us that it's going to be the same thing and it's going to be different. Like, we're going to be like, come on now. They won't be the same. My first thought is the manager's not going to be here next week.
No.
I think they're going to move on from Topper. And
that's a big one.
It sure is.
It's a big one.
And it might be, you know, it might be the biggest one, and they try to bring back some of the players, right? They try in free agency, and we'll see what happens there. But I think Topper's going to be out of here starting next week. That's the first big one. Let's start with him, and then we'll get to some of the players. Can we hear after the game that these guys were asked about Topper? And I always get a sense, Broads, when players are starting to get asked about the manager, it's like the seeds are sown, right? Like, I don't remember. Do you guys remember players being asked about Topper's job after the series against the Mets last year? I don't remember any of that.
No, but remember, they vomited all over themselves as an organization at that time.
The fact that it's being asked makes me think like the seeds are out there. Like, people know this thing is real now. And
They watched the playoffs. That was Bush League managing.
It was bad. I mean, he got outmanaged by Dave Roberts. Can we start with Trey Turner? Trey asked last night after the game his thoughts on Rob Thompson's future.
There's going to be discussion about Rob's future. Do you think Rob is still the right guy to lead this team?
Yeah, 100%. He's great, man. I've been blessed with a lot of good managers in my career. I've probably played for four or five now, and they've all been really good, and he's right up there with them. He's got all the qualities. He keeps it even keel all year long, and I think he, like I said yesterday a little bit, he runs the old school and the new school, and he's willing to adapt and change and do different things, and I don't think he can ask for more every manager.
All right, well, that was pretty strong, right? He's asked about him. He says, yeah, he's a great manager, and he wants him here. I mean, that was a no-doubt-about-it answer from Trey Turner, who's obviously going to be here under contract for a long time. I thought that answer was certainly different than this one. Bryce Harper, after the game, asked about Rob Thompson and his future.
Always, when you get this close, there's pressure on the manager. Do you think Rob is the right guy to continue leading this team forward?
I love Harper, man. He's done a great job for us. I don't know what the future holds. I have no idea. I think that's a Dombrowski question. But obviously, you know, we love Topper in here. He's been great for us. But I think that's, like I said, that's Tom Brown's question.
I mean, the guy's under contract. It's not like he's a free agent to be. Like that, you know, there's an easy answer to that, Broads. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Like the answer is just point blank, yes. Rob's our manager. That was telling to me.
Big time. I was stunned. That was also number two that made it on the Broads notepad. Oh, yeah. I was in disbelief. My ears perked up when I heard the question. I'm like, all right, how's he going to answer? It's easy. I'm not putting this on Topper. Are you kidding me? I don't want him to throw other guys under the bus. I'm just speaking emotionally.
But he could have said, listen, I love Rob. Rob's our manager. I wasn't good enough.
Yep. I need to do better. I didn't hit well enough. I'm supposed to be the one to help this team, and I didn't do my job. Let's not point the finger at Rob here. You know, I need to execute better. Yeah. Put it on my shoulder. Something along those lines. That's a Dave Dombrowski question?
Twice. Ask Dombo.
That implies the door's open for it. Let's see what the president feels instead of shutting it down. That is an extremely telling answer by Bryce Harper. I think he probably was in the dugout going, this guy's getting outmanaged by Dave Roberts?
Yeah.
That's disgusting. That's probably what Bryce was probably in that clubhouse thinking, this guy's lost.
Of course he was. And I think when you hear, when I heard that from Bryce, we all know the say he has in this organization, people they keep, people they don't. When I heard him say that's a question for Dombrowski, what I heard was that's a discussion I'm going to have with Dave Dombrowski. he's going to have a say in this.
And we're going to play this too. But that compared to what he says about other future decisions that are also, quote-unquote, questions for Dombrowski, that's not quite where he goes.
No.
He stuck his neck out for the other guys.
And
he didn't
not.
For Topper.
He absolutely did not. So my gut's telling me right now Topper's not going to be the manager of this team very soon. And I like him, but I'm okay. I'm ready to move on. Like, I'm ready for a new manager. And if they can get Bruce Bochy, I will sign off on that. All right, let's also hear from some of the guys that could not be here next year, and that includes Kyle Schwarber. I thought he was very emotional after the game. I heard this as someone who thinks there's a real chance he's not on this team next season.
Yeah, I mean, it's... doesn't feel good, you know. You just make a lot of different relationships in the clubhouse, and you never know how it's going to work out, right? It's just, you just make so many personal relationships with guys, and you spend how much time with these guys. Throughout the course of a year, and they become family, and you just never know how it's going to go. But these guys all know how I feel about them. I got a lot of respect for the guys in here, our organization, the coaching staff, everyone, top to bottom. This is a premier organization, and a lot of people should feel. Very lucky that one, that you're playing for a team that is trying to win every single year, and you have a fan base that cares, and you have an ownership that cares, and you have coaches that care, you have everyone in the room that cares, and there's no other reason. We're all about winning, and it's a great thing. I think that's why it hurts just as much as any other year.
Boy, that felt like a guy who thinks there's a real chance he's not here next year.
Sure does. Sure does.
And look, I get it. He's a free agent. He doesn't know where the offer is going to take him, how far the Phillies are willing to go. But he didn't sound to me like I'm back.
You know what sucks about this whole thing? There's a difference between what's right and then the cosmetic change, right? You want it to look differently next year, but at what cost? And because there's only so many things you could possibly do due to contracts and things of that nature, we all want a cosmetic change. Is Kyle the one where it makes sense to do the change, or is it just because it happens to align with where his contract's at?
Yeah.
That's sort of and JT, same thing. Who would catch if it's not JT? And, but you need to change something. You must. I made that very clear a few minutes ago. So that's where this whole thing gets into a pickle.
Well, and they have to decide right away, what's the goal? Like, are they all in to win the World Series again next year? Because then you go all out for JT again, right? Or you go all out for Schwarber again. But are they willing to let those guys? Because if they let those guys go, how do they play at this level next season? Right? Like, if Schwarber walks away, they're not going to be as good of a team unless they replace him with someone close to him. And Alonso, Kyle Tucker could be a better player than him if he's healthy. But, like, there's only one way to replace Schwarber. You have to spend a lot of money or trade for a great player.
Or, and we'll see what happens here, but is there something to be said? And I've been listening a little bit. The Yankees lose, and they're frustrated, and their GM's been there forever, and Cashman, and they're trying to find ways because they're consistently good. They're not good enough.
Yep.
So they're trying to find ways, right? And I'm kind of applying that to where we are now. Let's see Milwaukee. Maybe, I know this might sound crazy, but the name Kyle Schwarber, there's a lot of brand value in that. 50 home runs, there's something mm-hmm. they're selling you. But maybe you don't need that. Maybe you just need good, right? Like the way the Brewers play, the way some of these teams play, they're scrappier. It's more playoff baseball. It's like, it's less wow brand pop value of look at the Phillies and these big names and what they're building with their softball lineup. And maybe they just need the right group of guys where it's lesser pop and less sexier, but it's more winning baseball. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, look, it could work, but that's never been Dombrowski. He's a star guy, right? Like, that's how he builds all his teams. So I could live with that if it wins, but is this general manager going to do that? All right, let's also hear from Bryce Harper. Now, you heard Bryce Harper a few minutes ago talk about Topper, right, and give a very non-committal, it's Dave Dombrowski. Well, then he was asked about the free agents, the guys that are in the clubhouse with him, and their upcoming free agents. So here's what he said about them.
Man, I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, JT's one of the best catchers in baseball. The guys love pitching to him. They love throwing to him. Calls a great game. He, had a great year this year. Had a great postseason. Schwarber's obviously one of our team leaders, cornerstone of this organization. I don't know. I'm not really sure, what happens or what goes into this offseason or where we kind of go from here. But, you know, I think obviously those two guys are going to be a main decision for us and a main conversation for us as a team and as a club. And, you know, I think obviously we love those two guys and want them back.
Obviously, you're looking at those two guys and you want them back. I mean, that was his endorsement to re-sign those guys.
He also said, JT, one of the best catchers in baseball. You couldn't have said that about Topper? Hey, Topper's one of the best managers in baseball. It's not on him. I didn't execute. He could have said he's one. Because before this series, I actually thought there was a world based off of the regular season stuff that Topper's up there in managers in the league, right? He fell flat on his face, but Bryce could have said that.
It was telling.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, of course he did.
He knew what he was doing.
Of course he did. Kyle, your gut right now on changes to come here. Topper the manager next week?
No, and I think that's probably just because that's the easiest lever to pull.
And the first lever they could pull. Right. Free agency still a month away. Yeah,
and like reconfiguring this roster could look a ton of different ways. But the easiest thing that they can do right now, and the one thing that they can do to sort of make everybody in that locker room feel uncomfortable, is start with the manager. I mean, I don't know what's... The Schwarber one, I probably have the least idea of what the hell's going to happen with him and his free agency. I don't know what other teams are going to offer him. But the guy that we're not talking about or that we didn't bring up is Ranger.
Of course.
Like, I feel like for me, he would... Might be priority number one right now with the way the pitching staff's about to look like.
And you complicate it with Wheeler. We don't know what he's going to be, right? And I know we're all happy after Aaron Nola pitched the way he did two nights ago. He had a 6 ERA, right? Like, I have no idea what he's going to be next year. I hope he bounces back, but decline might be fully in now.
And he's the young one and the homegrown guy. Yeah. So, yeah.
And with Painter, we don't know. Like, right. I got to see it now, right? He had a wasted year.
He was horrible. I got a hypothetical for you that just came up off the top of my head, so it could be stupid.
Okay. Is this in the notebook?
No, I just shotted it down. This is not
next
in the
Next time Brody's with us, we got to guess.
We don't have to post the notebook.
We're going to need to like do a segment one day guessing what's in Bro's notebook. I like this.
If I had to guess, he's just doing doodles.
Yeah. No, it's not
stick
doodles.
Figures.
It is very detailed. So you have two options. Option one is you keep Rob Thompson and you change the personnel.
Okay.
Option two is you fire Rob, so there's a new voice, but there's a lot of the same personnel, but maybe you can focus on details more, better managerial decisions, but a similar crew. Is this too obvious of a keep Rob and change personnel? Is that too obvious of a hypothetical?
No, I don't think it's too obvious because these guys are free agents, right? So there's like last year, there was what were they really going to do besides maybe trade Boehm, right? Like all these guys were under contract, they were going to keep them. This time they have choices. I mean, this is the first time in a while they have. They have, I'll use an old Sam Hinkie, where they have optionality, right? They have a chance to change this thing significantly. Payroll,
we
players.
We really are.
The Sixers today.
I know. Yeah. Well, it feels better than talking about these teams.
So which one would you choose?
I would keep Schwarber. I'd keep
him. Keep the personnel and change the manager?
Yeah, especially if Bochy wants to come here.
Okay.
I mean, Bruce Bochy still wants to manage. He just moved on from the Rangers. The guy's one of the greatest managers of all time.
Kyle, what do you think? What would you do in that situation?
So, all right, hold on. It's fire Rob, keep everybody.
Fire Rob, keep everyone, or you keep Rob and change the personnel?
I think I would change the personnel.
I agree with you. I'm with you on this one.
And I guess, so by the personnel, you mean no Schwarber, no JT.
Yeah. Maybe you can
keep
Ranger.
But how are they competing next year?
Well, I told you, sometimes it's just scrappier.
I guess you might consider this a cop-out, but like some of the changes could mean around the margins a little bit. Like you get Brandon Marsh, Kepler out of here.
Bader,
you get real
full-time.
You get real outfielders, right?
Yeah, like, well, Bader's going to be a free agent. That's big one, yeah.
Alec Boehm, you can get a better third baseman. Like, we could be looking at, I understand that the free agents are the free agents, but we could be looking at other areas of this team to improve.
Well, look, here's the one thing I think we could all agree on. They're not going to run everything back the same. They're not, right? It's going to be maybe a little column A, a little column B, but they're not, and they can't. 215-592-9490. Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. Terrence up on WIP. Hey, Terrence.
Yo, bros! Kyle, what's up, man?
Terrence, how we doing today?
Joe's also here.
Guys.
I think he said guys.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
By the time for Nick Sirianni to shave his head, man, it's time for Topper to go too, man. Although the Eagles got us that Super Bowl last year, I think we should cherish that Super Bowl because we might not win another one for a long time. And the same constant is Philadelphia sports and the heartbreak and the failures. But in the Eagles' case, it's staying on top. We can't be compared to the New England Patriots and the Chiefs of the world because we have a problem with staying on top. Like, and those other teams, like the Patriots and the Chiefs, they stayed dominant for a long time, guys. And we can't even play offense right now. The game last night was embarrassing. We got torched by two rookies. I'm sorry, guys. As much as people want to say it don't look like 2023, it looks like 2023, guys.
It does.
All over again. To hire in-house and hire a non-experienced coordinator, you don't bring in somebody that hasn't done a job before coming off a Super Bowl, guys. We might as well have brought an Eric Bieniemy or somebody like that. It looks like 2023 because the offense can't do jack, and we keep the defense on the field all the time. It's happening over again. We have four-star players on offense, guys, and we should be dominating the league. Yep, we look like a high school offense. And I'm sorry, guys, AJ might have brought a cancer in the locker room. He might have the locker room divided right now, guys. AJ might have to go. I don't know. It's embarrassing. We had Dart Dorter Harlem shaking the end zone. We had Scatterbull flipping all over the end zone. Jalen, I don't want to hear them no more cliches about, bro, play like champions, guys. This is the worst I've seen the Eagles play in a long time, guys. And the Phillies, guys, we have to split this team up. Because, guys, we can't reach our potential with these guys. It's a basic throw to first base with Ryan Kirkland, guys. I don't know. I think the obituary last night was written. Flubber, that interview sounded like a whole obituary to me, guys, like he's gone.
Well, it did feel like he either knows Terrence or he feels like it's up in the air. Like he didn't sound to me like, I mean, yeah, if you watch that and Terrence Kufonko, if you watch the clip of Schwarber, he's got tears in his eyes. Mm-hmm. Now, some of that might be the guys, he puts a lot into this and they wanted to win, right? It's the end of the season emotion. But I mean, the spirit of what he was saying there was about his future and the end and the people here. It sounded like I might not be here.
And you're right. I think it was because he poured a lot into it and he really believed this group could maybe do it. And I can only speak from a fan's perspective. And when the playoffs began, I opened up my heart and I waved the rally towel. And that's what I do personally. Yeah. I'll rip a team for 6 months, but then when it's playoff time, I'll say, listen, there are signs of maybe something that can happen. Maybe you can get hot. Let's have fun with it. But deep down, I knew something was off about this group. I just didn't think that they were clean and crisp enough as a baseball team to go all the way and win all those series. They're just too inconsistent. So for Kyle to feel that way, it makes sense. But I got to be honest with you, as we sit here and talk through it and all, I don't know. I never believed in it. It hurts because it sucks because the season's over and I wanted more baseball, but I don't know. I just felt this team never really had the chance to really do it anyway. I don't know what that means. I don't know where we go from here. I don't know if you can even use that as a jumping off point. But that's just how I feel. I'm not broken to the point where I can't believe this team let this year go by and they sucked and they missed this huge chance. I never thought they really had a chance this whole time in a weird way.
Sometimes
in a weird way.
With teams, you know how people say, like, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, like the first, maybe you judge someone too quickly. Sometimes with teams, the first judgment is right. And with players, right? Like, and I think the Phillies have shown us over the years they could be very good, but they're flawed, right? And when you're this as flawed as they are, you just said it, it's tough to win three consecutive playoff series. They're flawed. They make a lot of mistakes. They go ice cold. They don't play great defense. The manager makes bozo decisions sometimes.
Base running, oh my gosh.
Right, like, so When you almost take a 10,000-foot view, are you shocked this happened? I'm not.
That's probably a good way to lay it out. And that doesn't mean I'm not heartbroken or upset or disappointed. I want baseball on Saturday. Instead, I'll be here 3 to 7. Can't wait to hang out with you. You know what I'm saying? I like that plug?
I do.
That was in the notebook.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. Oh. It wasn't. I'm kidding. It's not in the notebook.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
Oh, I love that art drop. All right, let's we haven't spoke to Positive Kevin for a while. Positive Kevin up on WIP. It's up, Positive Kevin.
Good afternoon or good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hope your day is going well. Broad, I used to be next to you as one of the gatekeepers for Mr. Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
But unfortunately, that's no longer the case.
I think it's
really time to put in Tanner McKee. Let's talk about Jalen Hurts last night, because that was not the MVP caliber quarterback we've come to expect sure, the stat line says 283 yards and a touchdown, but don't be fooled by that. He missed a wide open Devontae Smith on what should have been a walk-in touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth quarter interception, that was extremely outrageous. If you go back to the tape, A.J. Brown is one-on-one with no safety help on the top. That ball should have been thrown to A.J. Brown. What the hell is Julius doing? What is he doing?
Kevin, I don't know. Yes, the play you're talking about was a disaster class in every way. I mean, the throw he missed to Devontae's bad, but, you know, quarterback and a receiver will miss on a deep shot, right? Those are not 100% plays. They're more like 60, 30, 70, depending on the moment and the wind and the defense, all that. The play to AJ is actually worse when you think about it, because he's got to know the defense. It's a zero coverage, right? That means he's got AJ. He knows AJ's route is to cross in front of the guy. There's no defender there. He's got and he could have laid it up to AJ, because AJ's crossing at the hash mark, right? So he's got from the hash mark to the sideline to just lay it out for him to go run under. And he goes to the side. He's staring down Dotson.
He's staring exactly.
It's terrible.
He's staring him down. He's staring him down. Like Jimmy, what the hell are you doing? Scan the field. Stay in the field! Oh, he's too freaking worried about this Jordan Brand. And you know what? It needs
and
to
there
stop.
We go. Yeah.
All right, positive Kevin.
Appreciate you.
All right. But this is where I get in trouble with the Jalen thing a little bit. Like, for example, I don't think Jordan Mailata is playing up to his capabilities.
He's not.
But I think he's a great left tackle. I don't think Jalen's playing well, but I think he's still a really good quarterback. Do you know what I mean? I understand. I'm not saying he can't be mad or this and that, but I just feel sometimes we go to an extreme with it. That's all. Joe, you laid it out perfectly. You have to win a certain way with Jalen, and they are struggling with a new OC and with Sirianni, who might not be the sharpest schematically, to figure out how to do it without a respected veteran offensive voice.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, I think Jalen's not as bad as he's been the last couple weeks.
Correct.
And I do think, but now, see, this is where I get frustrated with the Jalen thing.
Because I go too far.
Well, you're here, so I'll say you. But
yeah,
in general, like, I feel like the whole offseason, I felt like I was being gaslit into talent. Like, I had to say he was the second best quarterback in the league, otherwise I was a hater. He's
right,
not. Like,
right,
Jalen's a good quarterback. They've won a lot with him, and they should continue to win a lot with him. But, like,
I'll meet you in the middle.
This isn't surprising to me that this has happened. Like, it's surprising it's been this bad. But, like, I'm not surprised he's having some struggles. He's missing some shots. He's not seeing the field. He does this sometimes. He can also get hot. He's a very rhythm quarterback, isn't he? Like, when he's hot, he's hot. Like, the Rams game in the second half, the Super Bowl title game.
How about the throw that he made to Dotson the other week right in the middle?
Yeah,
it was
awesome.
It didn't count as a catch because his feet weren't
in. It was the Broncos game, yeah.
Oh, my God. That is insane. Like, that's really insane.
But then when he's off,
he's off.
It's ugly. And right now, they don't have the run game to support him. They don't have the defense to support him. You're right. I think guys like Lane and Mailata are a little bit down from where they were last year. The whole thing is just...
Maybe we had the conversation wrongly about Saquon running out of gas from last year. Did the O-line run out of some gas from last year?
Did you see the quote from Mailata last week? Mailata had a quote that the whole offseason he was just tired. Like, it took a long time for his body to recover.
Wow.
I mean, you know, we didn't talk about that in the offseason. It's a fair point. Like, it wasn't that Saquon ran for 2,000 by himself. They blocked for 2,000. That was a lot of carries for them. The whole thing looks off. But here's the big issue. And you're right and about Mailata and all these guys. He's the quarterback, though, right? Like, the quarterback's supposed to lift all boats, and he doesn't have it right now. I mean, he's playing poorly. I mean, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, he is. He played poorly.
And as this goes on, they have to fix this. Otherwise, Howie and Jeff are not going to stand for this. Like, I don't know what the change is, but if they finish 25th in passing again and don't win a playoff round, like, they're not going to stand for this. People are going to either lose their job, they're going to draft another quarterback in the second round.
Uh-oh.
I mean, they would. Like, if Jalen Hurts plays this way the rest of the season, they're drafting a quarterback. There's just no doubt in my mind. Maybe not in the first round, but they'll do it in the second round.
Well, they might give up those picks for Bigsby. Well, might not have a shot anymore.
Be nice to have those picks back right now. All right, 215-592-9494. Scott Fransky will join us sometime in the next segment from the airport. Scott's reaction the morning after the season ended in abrupt fashion. Your calls as well on the Phillies, your emotion today, and the Eagles, who just, you know, we could look for a little lift last night. No, they get beat by 17 against one of the worst teams in the NFL. It is the Midday Show. Broad's in for Hugh today on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.